Welcome back to the Freaky Deaky, folks. Today we're diving into some chilling encounters with evil, true paranormal experiences, and run-ins with malevolent spirits. Or as my co-host will say, run-ins with your brain. We'll see you on the inside. You are now entering the realm of the Freaky Deaky. An unsuspecting stop at the crossroads of fantasy and reality, where the frayed edges of make-believe seep into this cookie-cutter, white-picket world you've been led to believe is far from extraordinary. What you're about to hear are true stories.
Alleged true stories.
Christian, just... okay? Tales of the strange and inexplicable thought only to exist in film and folklore. Although difficult to accept, we do not know everything about this reality. About time or space, what lies beneath the ocean's depths. And try though we might, the unchanging truth remains. There are some things we legitimately cannot explain logically. Folks, welcome back on this glorious Thursday or whenever you're tuning in. It's fine, honestly, if you're a Friday person. If you are new to the show, all we ask is that you check it out. And if you enjoy what you hear, slap a 5-star review on that bad boy wherever you're listening. We're really trying to get these pesky algorithms to throw us a bone. And it's folks like you that help us get there. So please, please, please review the show. If you enjoy it, if you don't like it, then hey, guess what? You can just move along, friends. But if you're a fan of ridiculous dry humor, a nonsensical soundboard, and just a healthy heaping dose of the paranormal, then you are in the right spot. And you can find us on social medias at Freaky Deaky Pod, pretty much wherever you're at, unless you're on TikTok, where we haven't posted in about 3 years. I might just give that to you if you want to just randomly experiment with TikTok posts.
Got it.
And just like take any of the shorts or anything we create and you just want to start messing around with TikTok, go for it. Because there's too many things to juggle. And it's like we never have enough to kind of, we're focusing on different things right now. So maybe Christian takes over the TikTok, but you're not here for that. And honestly, you probably don't give a shit. So what we're talking about today is encounters with evil.
I've had a few of encounters with evil before.
Yes. The laundry list is long.
It is. I mean, you know, that's just the way relationships go sometimes.
They really do be like that. Got a few skeletons in my closet as well, but that's fine, honestly, you know. And I know everyone was expecting this episode last week, but turns out we had Morgan Lauren in studio and we're like, hey, we're gonna get this out, we're gonna do all the fun stuff with this. And that turned out to be a great episode, as well as the bonus video that dropped on YouTube the following day. So if you have not checked that out, be sure to do that. Morgan might be one of the best guests we ever had as far as just conversation, you know. She fit right in place, man.
Yeah, she did.
She went with the punches. So, yeah, honestly, great time, great episode, great video, great person. Go support her at Morgan Lauren Co. on Instagram and follow up when she's working on that new show that's going to be coming out, what, sometime, she said August, something like that?
I believe so.
Somewhere in that time frame. In the meantime, let's get into some of these spooky stories, shall we? What about you, listeners? Have you ever had any encounters with evil? Throw a comment wherever you're listening, especially if you're on YouTube. That helps.
That evil could be relationships too.
It can, but you have to give context.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're just going to be like, oh yeah, she sounds pretty bad, or he sounds like an a-hole. And that's not kind of what we're looking for.
My boyfriend's a demon.
Is my boyfriend a demon? This first story is called The Black Form and the Hospice Patient. That's by Shirley Smith.
Good old Shirley Smith.
Classic Shirley. I was working as a hospice nurse for a patient that was so mean and just plain evil. Had been all his life. I introduced him to my husband since they were so much alike, and they became good friends. When he was passing, I was with him and his visiting sister. She was taking turns with his wife at being at his bedside. We had been quietly talking when all of a sudden she turned pale and pointed to the far side of the room. There was a large black form near the ceiling, and the room was getting very cool and dark. It started to move down the wall and onto the floor, moving toward my patient. I started praying as hard as I could for my patient's soul. The sister ran out of the room and wouldn't come back in. It's pretty messed up. When the black form got halfway across the bed, I moved back in fright, but kept on praying. My patient sat up and something took his soul because he had reached for something in front of him and then he fell back on the bed. And as soon as this happened, it got light in the room. I pronounced him at 2 a.m. I called my husband to let him know I would be late. He told me to take care and go to confession that the priest was waiting for me. The priest told me that he had a nightmare with me in it and he knew I was a hospice nurse working strange hours. He told me what happened without me telling him and said I was in danger. He blessed me after confession and even blessed my car. He said to never get that close to a black form again, a little racist, that it can attach to me and anything I had touched. Glad that my priest was there for me. 5 years later, my husband was going into renal failure and almost died. During the worst of it, my husband became so scared and I asked him what was wrong. He said he had seen my patient that had died 5 years before and was sure he was going to hell. I called our priest and he came to the hospital right away. He prayed over my husband and blessed him. When we were in the hallway later, he told me that the patient I had had might have attached to him because they were both so much alike. When my husband got out of the hospital, he was baptized again and he changed his life around. That was the best thing that ever happened to him. He's a completely different man. That's kind of messed up in the beginning, though. She was like, yeah, so I have this really evil bastard of a man that I'm taking care of. And I introduced him to my husband because they're so much alike. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Is your husband an evil bastard of a man?
Okay, I'm glad I caught that, too. And I was a little confused.
You're like, wow, classic way to sell your husband. He sounds great.
Also, the husband was terrified because he thought he was going to hell because he saw her former patient
that had a black thing come at him. Well, that sounds weird.
That doesn't mean he's going to hell. Why automatically are you jumping to him going to hell? That's the problem with hell. People,
bad reputation, it turns out. Yeah.
It makes people think they're going there for like, oh, I thought about my hot neighbor who's married to my friend in the wrong way. I'm going to hell. I'm like, well, that's not how it works.
That is true.
Just going to hell. Yeah. What?
Isn't that weird that just fits so perfectly?
It is going to hell. Yeah, I just think... sadly, no matter what that black figure was, I mean, they're calling it evil because it was black.
I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily the case.
I mean, not like that, but it's, you know, we think like a black shadow would just, some people would think it's automatically evil. Mm. Maybe it's just some kind of spirit or something. It's just, in this case, her husband was going into renal failure, which pretty much means you're going to die or there's a good
that
chance.
That was 5 years later.
Yeah. But, and then he sees this person, maybe that person was there to help.
He's like, hey, remember when I was going through some shit?
Yeah.
And nobody helped. Now, what's really bad is that the fact that this guy's sister was like, when she saw the black shape coming towards him, just left the room.
Yeah.
Like, if I had family in the hospital visiting me, and we all together witnessed some kind of what we assume to be an evil entity coming towards my bedside, and then they were just like, all right, deuces, we'll see you later, and just walk out, I'd be like, excuse me.
That's not very Christian-like.
I am in a hospital bed at the moment. I'm not exactly ready to be flapping my ass cheeks around running out of this room, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it. That's not very Christian-like.
Well, I don't think they never claimed to be Christians, so.
Except for the fact that they went to confessional.
That was the nurse. And she did stay.
And that's what I'm saying, though. The chances are most people, at least in those times, lean... They may not live their life as a Christian, but when it gets close to the end,
that's usually when you tap in.
Yeah, a lot of people become Christians. And
you're like, all right, God, well, I've done it my way. Now it's time for me to Frank Sinatra my way out of this situation.
Which is fine if you're a Christian because that's how it works, right?
Right.
You're supposed to be forgiven, but I don't know, man. I think maybe this was a benevolent spirit coming to
just hanging out.
Guide or help the husband.
It's kind of weird. The husband wasn't there. This was the...
No, 5 years later when he showed up with the husband, he was trying to help him out.
The guy himself was trying. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. It is kind of weird that everyone saw the thing, though. Like, most of the time, like, if it's someone in bed or something, like, they're dying, they're the ones that are like, oh, my God, what's that in the corner? And everyone's like, that's a wall, Steve. But this time, everyone looks like, oh, shit, what is that in the corner? It's coming towards you. Run.
If I was the CIA in like the 50s, I would have done things like this just as experiments and parts of the mind control program, just to see if you could induce mass hysteria in multiple people.
This is a wild tangent that I'm going to get into for about 30 seconds before we go into the next story. So if that's not for you, then just skip 30 seconds ahead. God, you're really bringing down the room. Anyway, speaking of the CIA, I came across this weird video yesterday saying that the CEO or whatever of Rockaware, remember like Jay-Z's brand or whatever, Rocka, whatever. I'm not really now into Jay-Z, but
now I get it.
Yeah, is an ex-CIA informant and had ties to like Suge Knight and like all these different things. And I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. Maybe Jay-Z's an informant too.
You need to send me that video so I can pass it on to former guest Bob.
There you go.
Who likes that kind of stuff and tells me all the time about entertainment industry.
I wonder
industry.
If I saved it. Because like my whole thing was like, I look for weird, as we're getting into, you know, pre-production on, you know, Strange Highness, I look for weird, almost conspiratorial stuff that's not really divide the nation type of material. I just want crazy stories that we can kind of harp on while we're baked out of our gourds, you know?
Yeah, like flat earth stuff. Birds are not real type of stuff. Conspiracy.
Yeah. Flat earth, not so much.
That's so ridiculous to me. I apologize to our listeners if you're flat earthers.
There's probably plenty of flat earthers that listen. But hey, you know, we're not saying it's definitely round, but we're not saying it's flat either. I actually believe in octagon earth, but that's beside the point. We'll talk about that more later.
I don't think in a multidimensional setting like the one we live in, I don't think it matters what the shape of the world is.
Yeah. It's actually a donut. Very few people know that, but you know, you come here for that alpha, you know, that good information, and we got you. Sorry, that was more than 30 seconds, but beside the point, let's get into this next story. It's called Mood Killer. It's by Karl Marcus.
Thought we were going all communist there for a second when you said Karl Marx.
I know, yeah. Yes. It says, a few years back, I was dating this girl. She told me her parents' house was haunted. Skeptical as I was, I thought she was playing with me. Then she told me that she had an evil second persona who would sometimes take over her body and damage her physically.
This is what is called a red flag.
You're also talking to someone that even
dates
after,
red flag or dated red flags.
Yeah, like to the point where there was shadow demons in my apartment for a month. Remember that? Yeah, I could have said no to a couple things myself, but, you know, we're not really known for our intelligence, are we?
I don't know, man.
Anyway, she has the second persona who would sometimes take over her body and damage her physically. Ooh, yeah. Just kidding. That's not something to joke about. Scott, don't cut that. Let people know that you're human and you make mistakes. She would wake up bleeding, totally oblivious of how she got those cuts and what just happened. I thought this was just her way of trying to get attention and help. I didn't really believe her story, although I tried to help and comfort her in any way I could.
Oh, he's so nice. I wonder why he would try to comfort a woman that he's going to later write a story about.
Well, karma mining for one, a little horizontal mambo for two probably, but we're not here to judge.
I did. I judged totally on this one.
I know. Yeah, and the people are aware. Anyway, all that changed when I started sleeping over.
Nice. And then we get to the
demon came out. Yeah. Okay. Little sinner.
Yeah. Over there. I mean, I didn't hear anything about a marriage in there.
Me either. Yeah. But that's fine. Again,
definitely going
to
hell.
I'm not a judge. Christian is just judging the hell out of this person.
He's going to hell. If hell existed, he'd be going there.
It's daddy's time now. Damn it. I went to the next page, but I guess it is daddy's time now. It's fine. All that changed when I started sleeping over because strange things would almost always occur at night. These experiences all occurred when my ex and me, and usually the dog, were alone in the house. It started with her laptop randomly turning on in the middle of the night and actually logging into my ex's account. Shortly after, I started to hear things as well. Footsteps coming from the ceiling or roof right above the bed we slept in. Not a ticking sound like a mouse makes, but actual thuds, like a human was casually walking circles on the roof. A few days later, I heard a dog barking downstairs. The family dog was a boxer, but I heard a high-pitched arf instead of a low, rough. Very scientific right there. I went downstairs but saw nothing special. The boxer was sleeping peacefully in his kennel in the kitchen. I returned to the bedroom and saw my ex in bed, sitting up straight with both arms bleeding. I had seen her with fresh wounds before, so that was nothing new for me. Really sad to see, but nothing new. What startled me to death is that she had her eyes closed like she was still sleeping, but her mouth was wide open as if she was screaming her lungs out, but she wasn't. Needless to say, I didn't sleep anymore that night. A few nights later, we were in bed sleeping together again and woke up to my ex trying to climb over me, mumbling, "Break glass." As the situations in that house were starting to freak me out, I felt the urge to protect myself. I grabbed my ex by the shoulders and yelled, "What are you or whoever else trying to do?" My ex woke up, but in a second we heard a loud tack and the sound of glass breaking in the kitchen. I went downstairs to look and saw the locked cupboard wide open, and on the floor shards of what used to be two long drink glasses. Cleaned up the mess, walked back upstairs, and found my ex sleeping as if nothing had happened. Once something strange happened in the middle of the day, we were upstairs in my ex's bedroom and her father was working in the garage. Nobody else was home and we wanted to get a little physical.
Ooh yeah. With the father downstairs. Ooh yeah. She's going to hell.
You ghost.
Hit him with the threefer. Anyway, yeah, so getting physical. Cover your ears, children. We made sure the bedroom door was closed, closed the windows, and started fooling around. In the heat of the moment, unintended, the door flew open hard, as if someone kicked it in, except there was nobody there. I do remember feeling a slight breeze, and the next moment her bedroom window shattered into pieces. That kind of killed the mood, to be honest. Shortly after, we broke up and some strange things happened to me, but nothing like this. It did get me interested in spirituality and what else is with us. Wow. What a ride. Literally.
I don't know what to say about this one, man.
No, the demon's a mood killer. There's nothing else to say about that. I did adjust some of the wording for our family-friendly show here, but yeah.
I don't know what...
Not a fun time, man. Not a fun time at all. That's kind of weird that whole... I mean, you've heard people that have sleepwalking or whatever, and they do weird shit in their sleep. Comedian Mike Birbiglia, for an example, is known for... he literally has to wear mittens and get in like this... sleeping bag up to his neck because he sleepwalks like crazy, does weird shits, jumped out of a hotel room window, the whole nine. So there are some pretty crazy things that can happen with sleepwalking. However, in this instance, you have someone that is climbing over the boyfriend and mumbling "break glass," and then when the boyfriend shakes her out of it, like the next second you hear something in the kitchen break and it's glass. And that's just kind of, I don't know, like, was the demon trying to use her as, like, a flesh robot, like, Grogu style, and then it's like, all right, I'll do this myself, never mind, you're not needed.
I almost feel like, what do I feel like? What if there's nothing, no demon there? What if it's just the power this girl has? She's just, like, a fire starter type of thing, like, back in Stephen King days, one of his first books. She just has those powers, so she was, like, break glass, so... She made the glass break. Maybe there's no ghost in there at all. Maybe it's just that girl.
Yeah. Weird flex to then be like, you know, cutting yourself up and everything like that.
Maybe she's not conscious of that part of it. Mm. Maybe it is something in her sleep. What if we have powers that we just don't know? And
well, I think there is that to an extent, but
sometimes when we sleep, those things can come out because we're not able to hold them at bay.
That is true. Yeah. They really do be like that.
And you could connect that to sleep paralysis and all kinds of things and the reasons behind it, potentially.
If you really want to reach that far, sure. But, you know, we like to keep things in reality on this show, Christian. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
We also like rabbit holes.
We do. That is something that we have on our dream board, a bunch of rabbit holes. And it's mainly because we have rabbits in the yard constantly, but that's beside the point, honestly. You know, I don't know. What about you guys? What do you think out there? Demon or sleeping, you know? Powerful sleeper, perhaps.
Or demons on the mind while you're asleep produce demons in real life.
No.
Yeah. I wanted to add it so badly. I'm not going to because it turns out it's very explicit, but I gave my son a little bit of honey stick yesterday and the flavor was coconut, classic. And I was like, yeah, buddy, this is coconut. And he was like, cookie. And I was like, I gotta bleep that even for this because YouTube's not gonna be happy with that. And I was like, no, cocoa nut. And he's like, cocoa. I was like, okay. Okay. Yeah, let's not talk about coconut or order anything coconut outside the house until you can get this down. But very hilarious.
It's not as okie dokie dokie dokie.
Yeah. It's a little less wholesome than that one turns out, but it's fine. And I was like, I don't think the soundboard needs that. My son inexplicably, swearing the worst swear you could say with the first off, you know what I mean?
Unless you're in England, then it's not that big of a deal.
I should have prefaced that with like America thinks this is the worst, but England, it's like, who cares? All right, this next one's called Cat God.
Those are my favorite.
They are your favorite, and it's by Aaron England. A friend was staying at my house, and we had set up a tent in the backyard. We went in the house to get snacks and drinks. I found what I was looking for first and was headed back outside While he was still digging around in the kitchen, on my way out, I saw this cat that I didn't particularly like sitting in the middle of the yard. Long story short, the cat was weird and it creeped me the hell out. If I made direct eye contact with it, it also made a lot of noises that weren't normal cat sounds, and it would stalk around the outskirts of the yard just outside the porch light. So anyway, I opened the back door and this cat is just sitting in the middle of the yard giving me this look that made me feel really unsettled. I jumped off the porch and took off toward it to chase it out of the yard. The cat strangely doesn't run very fast, almost as if it's leading me or something. The cat heads straight for this small trail that leads back into the woods, which is kind of unusual because cats are evasive. They'll run through places where we can't follow to break trail. Alright, so in our backyard, there's a giant row of bushes. On the other side, it's grown up with a briar patch that might as well be a fortress for a cat. I've chased tomcats out of the yard before, and they generally cut straight under that line of bushes, out the other side, and into the briar patch where they disappear. Not this cat. Again, he runs so slow that I can almost keep up with him, and instead of taking the quick route or trying to evade me, he runs to the end of the line of bushes and cuts back into the one spot in the tree line that isn't inaccessible to me. I could have easily followed him, but I stopped because I wasn't about to run through the woods in the middle of the night. The cat gets in about 15 feet or so, then stops and glares at me one last time. Then he turns and walks away. I never saw that cat again. To this day, I still maintain that the cat wanted me to follow it into the woods. So anyway, the cat gives me one final menacing ass glare before it walks off into the woods, and I turn to head back to the house. I take maybe two steps and a gust of wind blows over me, actually more like through me. And I hear the unmistakable sound of a cougar directly behind me. Just Google cougar scream, that sound. No more than a few feet behind me, I literally bounced about 5 feet forward when I heard it. The moment I touched the ground, it was full sprint straight to the house. Okay, so Fernando was coming out of the house at this time, and he witnessed everything from this point forward with his own eyes. So I fly up the back porch, Fernando throws the door open, and I run past him. He closes it, and we both start yelling about what we had just seen and heard. I told him that a cougar tried to attack me, and he swears that it was a tall man with glowing red eyes, and that he tried to grab me at the exact time that I bounced, which would have been a moment or two before the strange wind that blew over me, and about the same time, it mocked that cougar behind my head. So for a description, we ended up going with, it was a man, tall with glowing red eyes. Oh, and he mocks cougars and vanishes in plain sight. We call him Cat God. That happened over break between 8th and 9th grade. That's a weird story, man.
I wonder what part of the country they're in.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's a bunch of things that could do that.
It's interesting that, like, it almost seemed like this cat was trying to draw him out.
The cat was a familiar with whoever that red-eyed man was.
Yeah, the story got me thinking, man. Remember I told you there's actually two cats here every single day that will walk the perimeter. No idea whose cats they are, but I get ring notifications all around the house where it's like, there's movement, I'll check, and it's the same cat. Doesn't, like, walk through the yard, nothing. Literally walks the perimeter of the house. And then, like, 20 minutes later, walks back the perimeter of the house. A few hours later, a different cat walks the perimeter of the house. I'm like, the fuck is going on, man? Are these cats stalking me now? Is that what we got going here?
Maybe they're protecting you.
We got cat gods on the territory?
I mean, cat god's a little presumptuous, but
yeah,
maybe they're just a regular cat doing their guard duties, protecting perhaps us from evil.
Hey, keep the mice out of that garage. You know what?
That could be evil. I mean, mice and... Mm-hmm. Rodents have been evil to us in the past. They've killed, millions.
That is true. I don't know, man. It's kind of like, there's so many weird points in this story where it's like, oh, I'm just chasing this cat that I don't like, or it gives me the willies when I lock eyes with it. And that's like it evades this briar patch that all the other cats go through, goes 10 to 15 feet in the woods. And as soon as you turn around and start walking back, you hear a cougar on your tail, feel this weird wind. And then your friend is at the back door and sees a tall, weird shadow man with glowing red eyes.
What if we took it the wrong way? Because they were young when this happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were talking about what we'd normally call a female cougar in human form. Maybe they just started early on the cougar fantasies.
Wow. That doesn't feel like the show for this?
Well, especially because instead of seeing a cougar chasing after this kid, his friend saw A man with red eyes.
I know that cougar sound is pretty unmistakable, though.
Is it, though? Is it unmistakable? Because I think a lot of people have mistaken it for supernatural things. And sometimes it's just a cougar. It's not whatever forest-dwelling cryptid is out there that's mimicking something.
Well, I think in this case, if this person is talking about cougars, like they're not in the area, I don't know.
Well, the way they mentioned the cougar, it sounds like wherever they're from, they're pretty common.
Are cougars ever common?
I mean, you don't see them. They
stalk you from the trees, yeah.
Where we grew up, they were around, but we didn't see them. I never saw them.
They saw you.
Yeah, that's what my dad would say. But they don't normally come after humans unless you're small.
Yeah, unless you say, come at me, bro.
Did I ever tell you about my dad's friend's wife was out horseback riding? I swear I've said this on the podcast. And she came around a bend, and there was a cougar or mountain lion, maybe a little different.
Oh, yeah.
With a skull in its mouth.
I think that does sound familiar.
And she said it was like the skull of a child.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
And you're like, oh, cool. Nice treat. You bringing that for me, friend?
Yeah. I mean, that's the Antelope Valley in the desert.
It does happen.
Dumping grounds for bad people.
Sure. Why not? Let's take it there. Yeah.
Anyway. I don't ever know what happened after that. She didn't tell us.
Well, the child died.
Well, we know that. That was before that, though.
R.I.P.
Unless it was a monkey, and they just couldn't tell. But
it'd be even weirder.
A monkey in the desert in California.
I mean, you might as well have a crazy red-eyed glowing tall man chasing after you.
I mean, when camping out in the backyard, these things happen.
Yeah, that's what they warn you about as a child. You're going to camp in the backyard. They're like, all right, be warned of the weird cougar noises and the tall figures with glowing eyes.
And a cat that is...
Whatever, Dad.
A cat that's leading you astray. What if all of a sudden the cat started working with cougars?
Oh, well, that seems like a weird jump. Anyway, yes, a trigger warning for domestic violence and suicide in this next one, which is called The D-Bag X and the Demonic Presence. That's by L. So L writes, my mom's evil ex-boyfriend had such a dark, menacing energy, he attracted a demon into our apartment. He worked at a mental health hospital, and he should have been in one. His name was Robert, and he tortured me, my two siblings, and my mother physically, mentally, and spiritually. I was about 6 years old, my sister 9, and my brother 10. Robert used to torture us by hitting us with objects, once 2 glass cups on my head. He would make us do airplanes, quote, airplanes, for hours, where we had to stand facing the wall and put our arms up and we couldn't put them down. He had a tarantula that he would use to terrify us by putting it on our beds. He killed 2 of our pet cats. I can remember coming home to blood smears on the wall. But the worst was hearing him beat and choke our mother. When my mother finally left him, he would break into our house, cut up our furniture, and steal our games and toys. This was all while in the middle of a court process my mother was going through to get a restraining order against him. When she finally got the restraining order, she met someone else a couple years later and became pregnant, having my little sister, and she began working nights as a nurse. She had gone from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. I would watch my infant sister by sleeping with her in my mom's room. One particular night, it was around midnight, and I had just made myself some ramen and was going to lay in bed with my baby sister, when I heard panting in the hallway outside the bedroom door. My older sister burst into the bedroom, sobbing and hyperventilating. She began saying something was holding her down in her sleep and telling her things in a demonic voice. She said she was wide awake when it happened. As she's explaining this, we begin to hear footsteps approaching the door, and she panicked, saying, "Do you hear it? Do you hear it?" And I called my mom immediately. The whole thing sounded confusing to her, and I remember her just saying, "Well, I can't leave work." She probably assumed it was just a nightmare. My sister slept in my bedroom floor for the next 5 months. Eventually, I began to have the same experience with a demonic presence holding me down and cursing at me. Sometimes before bed, I could almost feel it coming before it happened. Once while I was asleep, it even pulled my leg, and I woke up in pure horror with my heart ready to leap out of my chest. Another instance, I had a pizza pan fly from across a flat surface all the way at me. Another time, my brother said he heard footsteps and what sounded like someone cocking a gun outside his bedroom door. He shouted so loud, "Who's there?" He woke up my mother and everyone in the middle of the night. No one was there and no one was awake at this time. Everyone moved out. My mother left the apartment to my sister and she still lives there. And to this day, she insists it's cursed because of all the terrible negative things that happened there. So much that it plagued her to live there so terribly that she tried to take her own life there. Thankfully, she didn't succeed, but it really made me think. And the truth is, when I moved out, I never, ever wanted to go back. And when and if I did, it gave me extreme anxiety and dread. Living alone now, I've not experienced not one thing spiritually negative happen, a nightmare at most. I believe something evil manifested itself in the apartment from all the trauma, abuse, and negative energy. I believe it wanted to latch and feed off of us, and I believe it drove my sister to kill herself. She isn't free to the demon in that house.
I believe some of these things this person believes may be a little bit of a reach. I mean, obviously there's something going on. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can't be like, this house, these weird things happening in this house are connected to my mom's evil ex-boyfriend.
So are you then saying that you believe that this is a, like they moved into something that was already had a negativity about it or a presence about it that affected maybe the ex-boyfriend or the, you know, whatever it is that they're experiencing in the house?
Since we're a paranormal podcast.
Yes.
You would, that's the way we would normally lean. Well, let me throw another idea out there.
Uh-oh.
Bad construction and infrasound.
Bad construction.
Causing infrasound in this house, which could cause us to see certain things happening and maybe inflate them or connect them to evil because of, you know, because we know infrasound does happen in certain places.
Sure.
Because of the way the wind blows or the way the place is built or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that could, maybe that's what's triggering this. I mean, the ex-boyfriend was obviously dirt.
Yeah.
But maybe the presence of infrasound could lead bad people to do or act worse than what they normally would, or to not be able to control it.
Perhaps. Do you think in that theory that infrasound has the ability to make pizza pans levitate and fly across the room?
It might have the ability to make us see that. I mean, but also it could have just flown across the room and there could be.
And hey, these things happen. You know, I mean, who hasn't had a pizza pan?
It definitely happens. When you're listening to a paranormal podcast, because we focus on that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I mean, I just really wanted to segue into the freaky deaky infrasound detector that we're going to start selling, where you can just in a place where things feel weird, just turn it on and it'll tell you whether it's infrasound or demons. And
there you go.
Our future model will name the demon for you. So
wow.
If it's Zozo or Azazel or Beelzebub, you'll know. Weird. Just joking. We don't have that yet.
Or ever, for that matter. But yeah, I just don't think, like, I understand that infrasound is a real thing and that it does, like, as someone that has used it and heard it and all that stuff and been affected by it myself, I'm aware of what it can do. I don't think it has the ability to levitate objects and or hold down people and whisper demonic things in their ears. You know, that has never crossed my mind with infrasound, but
it might have the ability to alter the way you perceive the world around you. Not saying that's the case here. It sounds like straight haunting to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the creepy part is I think that if you're in a situation where you're in a house that has a lot of negativity, or like someone that's doing, you know, like this douchebag in the beginning of the story, right? Like, I think that you either have that good energy with you or you got that negative energy with you, and whichever one you feed is what grows, you know? So if you starve the good and it's all negative and shit like that, well, guess what? You're in for a bad time. Like, even across the street, that house across the street, you know, I have a bad vibe with that thing just because of all the shit that I heard and saw go down across the street when that other family was living there, you know. And now it just says sold as of a couple of days ago. I see a young family moving into the house and I'm like, uh-oh.
Sounds like the beginning of,
I know, it's like the Amityville horror, you know,
your,
like,
poltergeist.
Here we go. And so now I gotta, like, just keep a watch on it, which sounds very creepy. I'm not gonna be like stalking the neighbors or anything like that, but
he is.
Yeah, I'm just outside with my night vision, like, what are they doing?
I do have, there were a couple clues in this story.
A clue?
Okay, so we'll skip past the evil boyfriend
or
the
sure.
demon infested boyfriend, whatever you want to call him.
Sure.
But we know about this person as a young child is watching an infant while their mom works the overnight shift. They're eating ramen. These are all signs of maybe not the best financial situation or...
First of all, ramen's delicious.
I mean, yeah.
With or without financing.
But ramen has been delicious to a lot of us that maybe didn't have a ton of money growing up. And also, it's easy for kids to make because you just have to boil water.
Drop a disc of ramen in there, yeah.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. But so it sounds like maybe not the best financial situation or living situation. And it could be just that this person is living away from family and doesn't have the help that some people have when you need childcare and stuff. But
at what point in the ramen discussion and feeding are we going to touch on the demon? Where does that come in? Is it because they're eating ramen that the demon's like, oh, I can feed on these people?
One of the things it reminds me of is when you hear these stories about hauntings or like the previous story about the girl that had that lived in that house that caused her to hurt herself. You know, Eddie Murphy made the joke many years ago about Get Out when you walk into a house, you know, a really nice house. I really love this house. And then you hear a voice, Get Out. And Eddie Murphy's like, sorry, honey, we can't stay.
Yeah.
You know, but most people can't do that, especially if their financial situation's not great.
I mean, this economy,
most of us can't just drop everything and move to a less haunted place.
That is true. Yeah.
You know, and the people that can seem to fill our film screens by not doing that when all the signs point to it, even if they have enough money.
Sure. Why not?
But most of us can't do that. We're stuck. You know, if you have a skeptic like me, you make up those demon sounds as, oh, the house is just settling.
I know. Yeah. I was still waiting for where the demon came in, but it's
the pizza pan. I mean, the counter was tilted, bad construction. It just slid off the counter very violently across the room.
And it took flight, Christian? I don't know if that's...
I mean...
I think you're digging yourself a hole for all our skeptic listeners.
That's called aerodynamics.
Wow. I don't think it is.
Flying saucer dynamics.
Wow. Somebody get Bob Lazar on the horn. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we'll find out how this pizza pan was propelled.
That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to hyper-focus on. Not the evil within this place. I do think, look, there are entities out there that are known for feeding on fear. Sure. I don't think it's really that big of a stretch for something like this to happen. And then, you know, it just creates these bigger, weirder things that take place. It feeds on your fear. It grows. It intensifies. And unfortunately, you know, someone is usually left foot in the bill for the negativity. And it's weird that the sister stayed behind in this instance, but...
Yeah. Also, just because you have sounds and things flying off shelves doesn't mean that there's an entity around.
Yeah. Usually a good indicator is, though, if the entity physically holds you down on your bed while you're wide awake and starts speaking weird demonic stuff into your ear. Which is a good sign that usually maybe something not good is afoot.
Which brings us back to the old movie, The Entity.
It doesn't, though. It brings you back.
Based on a true story.
Of course.
It was a pretty creepy story back in the day.
There you go. You're really great at deflecting stuff where you're just like, hey, I know there's a lot of evidence here, but what about this?
No.
How do you feel about ramen, guys, huh?
There's a lot of stories here. The problem with these things is there's no real evidence. There's experiences that people have. That's not evidence, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, there's no evidence that it slid off the counter and took flight, this pizza pan either, but you're preaching it, you know, which is actually less possible than a demon in my eyes. You know, even it's less probable for that to happen.
Even if it was a demon that propelled it, it still slid off that counter with demon propulsion and flew across the room.
You're saying that with such confidence, being so wrong, that it's almost comical. It's almost comical.
I just said the same thing you said, but I added demon propulsion to it. If a demon throws something, it is propelled by a demon. Therefore, demon propulsion. Hashtag demon propulsion.
Hashtag bullshit.
I mean, you can add that hashtag there too, because I think demons are bullshit.
Well, yeah.
No offense, demons, do not attack me or take me to hell.
Look in the black mirror now and tell me if you see anyone looking back. Is it a demon?
I see this.
Or is it you?
It's this wonderful me.
Or is it both? You know what I mean?
I mean, some people might think I'm a demon.
Some people might be right. Anyway, Moving right along, this next one is called The Face, and it's an anonymous submission.
Ooh. We are not going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Oh, turns out this is another trigger warning. Sorry. This is Encounters with Evil. There's going to be a couple trigger warnings, all right?
Because evil is always manifested triggering in other humans.
Sure. Anyway, it says, I lost my girlfriend to suicide in April last year.
I'm glad I didn't make the joke with that first part of that line.
Mm-hmm. She had a personality disorder, and nobody, including her doctors, saw her suicide coming.
How do doctors not see something like that with a personality disorder?
I don't know.
That's always the potential with personality disorders.
Sure. Anyway, I have to preface that my girlfriend died at her place a week after having been, against her wish, released from the hospital where she had been admitted after a severe psychotic episode.
What? So, okay, so this just furthers my statement about nobody saw this coming.
Hey, not all doctors are great, man. Check out Dr. Death. Some doctors honestly don't give a shit.
Or Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Or Dr. Seuss. Just kidding. He's a good one. He's one of the OGs. It's fine. Since her brutal passing, weird things happened in my place. I have my own. Most of them were nice things, but last year, one night in March, just 1 month prior to my girlfriend's passing, I had just arrived late at my place. I was worn out and depressed about my girlfriend being, quote, in the madhouse. I turned all the lights on and I laid on my bed. I was wondering what was happening to her. I was at a loss because it was the first time I was confronted to someone with mental illness. Then I felt like rolling on my side, which I did, and saw a creepy, in fact, the most hideous face I ever saw, with red eyes, no pupils, appear a few feet away at my eyes level. I think no Hollywood makeup artist could ever come this close to what I saw. I saw it as I see this computer screen. It wasn't blurry. It didn't appear in a funny way. I wasn't feeling off as if I were in a different conscious state. My eyes were wide open at the time and all the lights were on and I had just arrived home. That sinister figure appeared for a second and then disappeared. It's like you are in front of a mirror in the dark, then you switch on the light a second and switch it off. My reaction was like in the movie Jaws, when the cop sees the shark appear in front of him as he is throwing pieces of fish off the water, except that I didn't say, we need a bigger boat. But I quickly sat up on my bed, shook my head. I wasn't scared at the moment, just shocked. I tried to forget about it and brushed it off, although I knew it was very real and not a figment of my imagination. I usually turn on the TV to help me sleep, but that night I put on my pajamas, turned off the lights, and went straight to bed. That feeling was like fait accompli. It's there, and there's nothing I could do. To what? Help my girlfriend? Or a terrible thing is about to happen? I'm not even sure it's tied to my girlfriend, although it appeared the same week my girlfriend tried to kill herself in the hospital. Something that went unnoticed by the medical staff. The other thing is that I felt humbled. I don't know what appeared in front of me, and the most important thing, why it did. It was no hallucination. I've never been involved in black magic, never worshipped anything evil. I don't even know anyone that does. I believe in God, but I'm not religious. I have, however, always been interested, in a reasonable way, in life after death, reading books and watching documentaries. So a few months later, I phoned a Catholic priest. The Catholics seem to be more open to this kind of thing. It didn't really help me. The priest was being nice, though. He told me that I wasn't crazy and that he had heard much worse stories, I guess to reassure me. But I could tell he didn't feel comfortable. I've never seen that creepy thing again ever since the passing of my girlfriend, but I have realized one thing. It's that if evil exists, then God exists. That's why I felt humbled, I guess. And I'm staying close to God. Mazel tov. That is creepy.
That is sleep paralysis.
That is not.
Yeah. He thought he woke up and he saw a demon.
He literally never went to sleep.
That he knows of. I didn't think I went to sleep this morning. And then you called me saying I was late.
But there's a vast difference between those two things, you know? One happens every other week, it feels like. One only happened that one time when he got home, wide awake, sitting in bed, daring flash of a weird demonic face. And I don't know, man. I know you're not really a fan of, you know, things latching onto people or evil forces or anything like that or black magic. But I think there's some really interesting things out there in the world that we do not understand. And I think if evil exists, if there are entities out there that mean us harm or feed off our fear or feed off our energy, whatever you want to call it, whatever your belief systems are, that this thing could have showed its face for just a moment as like almost like a ha ha, I'm doing this. I'm responsible for this or whatever. Like, why would your brain just randomly create some random shit like that, you know?
Maybe your brain didn't. I mean, I just read a headline that our brain is not capable of making up faces we haven't seen in our dreams.
Yeah, I read that. That floats around the internet every now and then, because I heard that years ago.
Yeah, I didn't read into the article. It was like something that popped up on Twitter or one of the social medias. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's similar.
Because it says that like pretty much every face in your dream is at least someone you've seen at some point, right? Yeah.
And now at this point, we get a lot of demons in our dreams that we think are demonic or whatever, but they're really just something we saw on a scary show.
Or actual monsters.
I mean, if they exist, but again, there's no evidence of actual monsters. See, there's stories.
There's no evidence for you because you've never experienced
evidence
it.
Evidence is evidence. Evidence isn't what is in our brain or what one person witnessed. It's not even what two people witnessed. That's not necessarily evidence.
Yes, that's folly to do. Yeah, sure. Let's get into some weird shit. Evidence is to the person. Like for me, if I see something, I'm like, well, there's evidence that exists. But it is. There's like you're saying that there's no evidence. Well, there's no evidence that these things don't exist. There's no evidence that, you know, everything is hunky dory in the world and there's no demons, there's no ghosts, there's no spirits, there's no other side. Like there's zero evidence of that. If anything, science points to the existence of all these things. It's so taboo to talk about that nobody wants to touch it. You have stories like this that correlate more with actual theories and stuff than what the scientists are putting out or what science is saying about things. And to me, that's evidence. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to be able to, what, you want me to get a lock of the ghost's hair? You want me to fucking get an interview with it on YouTube? I don't know. Like, evidence is such a weird thing to say that there's none because there's millions of people having these experiences out there, dude.
I found a definition for evidence and it says, of course, it's a noun.
Of course.
That which tends to prove or disprove something, ground for belief, proof, something that makes plain or clear an indication or sign. And here's an example. His flesh look was visible evidence of his fever. I guess technically you are right. It is kind of an evidence, but it's not scientific evidence.
Science is bullshit anyway, man.
What religious people have said since the Dark Ages when they made sure people couldn't read the Bible because they didn't want them to, because they had the power. They're like, let's keep it in Latin and just let the priest help
Sure.
You know, it's...
Is there any evidence of that, Christian? Have we found it?
Yeah.
Can you look at it right now?
Yeah, it's called Martin Luther when he wanted to make it to where everybody could read the Bible instead of just the priest reading it. So there is evidence of that part of it where that group of priests.
But do you have any physical evidence? Have you ever seen any physical evidence that's not on the internet or anything like that? Like,
I've seen some of the writings from hundreds of years ago talking about it.
I've seen some of the writings about ghosts recently on the internet. And guess what?
It's still not.
That's the same thing, man.
It's just you're witnessing something. You need to come up with better stuff, like the pizza pan flying off.
Are you suggesting that it just randomly taking flight is better than a demon was responsible for?
I'm suggesting there's no actual proof that this pizza pan flew off the table.
There's no actual proof that we exist to a lot of people that listen to this podcast. They just hear voices. You know, this could all be AI. This could be anything. There's no physical proof for anyone in any of these stories. Anything we say on this podcast, anything we talk about, there's no proof that I have a son, that I have a soundboard, that I touch buttons on. There's like, it's all just speculation. Until people are physically in this room with us, they have no evidence that we actually exist.
What if all of this was AI from the future, making sure that we failed as a civilization? So they went back and did their AI thing from the future and can produce all these sounds and demons. It's just a way to make us all go crazy, to scrub the earth of the human physical presence.
I think you will give anything credence that isn't actual demons. I think you will scrape the earth, so to say, as you have lovingly titled it, for anything that is not evil entities or good entities or spiritual entities or
spiritual entities. Though, because
why? Because this is that's your role on the podcast. That's not having an open mind.
I don't necessarily believe in demons, and I definitely don't believe in hell. So I have to find another pathway that fits my worldview.
That's being stubborn, man. Like, that's you being completely stubborn. Like,
why would I believe in hell? There's no proof of it.
No, I'm not even saying hell. I'm talking like spirits or demons, whatever. Like, instead of being like, I have heard so many stories of these things that I have formed an opinion that they are indeed real, whether or not there's any religion attached to that, or it's just like evil and good. There's a balance, whatever you want to call it. But to just completely back off that and be like, no, it's not real. I don't believe in that. So therefore, it must be something else. That puts you in like...
That's not what I said. That's just where the way I have to look at it because of my worldview. It doesn't mean that I ignore things. I just need more proof. I mean... There's less proof of demons than there is mostly anything else.
That's
other than the stories we have on our Ouija board episode, or evil boyfriends that what did he do? Make the kids do the cross or whatever, or no, fly. Put the flying position against the wall. That's not, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. I'm gonna look at other, if you're asking me to look at evil and good, I'm gonna look at humans. Because they are responsible for most of the evil in this world.
That's your opinion. And there's no evidence behind that.
Okay.
No, I think evidence, regardless of definition, which, by the way, I am fully aware of what the definition of evidence is. I don't know if you're doing that for our listeners or if you're doing that for me. I know what evidence is. Thank you. But
I don't think you do.
I think in the stuff that we touch on here, if the mind is blind, then what you see or perceive or anything like that, like, it's irrelevant. You know, like, if you can't open your mind to the possibilities of these types of things, you're going to be stuck in this narrow corridor of, well, there has to be evidence, there has to be proof, there has to be this. Like, at some point, you got to just be like, nah, the world's fucking weird out there, isn't it?
I already say that. I don't need evidence to convince me of that. It's, the world is weird.
Yeah.
But, well, I don't know about the other stuff. We'll see. That's the whole point of the podcast. We still haven't come across the smoking gun of demons.
Have not. Yes, I have seen plenty of stories at this point and formed my own conclusions. Isn't that fun? This next one is actually, we're going to close out on this story. It is by Davalo Rees, and it is about a dream that sounds like the absolute worst thing that has ever encountered in the world. And I know it's weird, you're like, oh, a dream, really? But
I'll be the judge of this.
Christian will be the judge, as always, of this. It's called The Eyes, The Dream. And it's by Davalo Rees. This is going to be a sort of weird post, rather vague and semi-poetic. I don't know any other way to put this experience in words. My mother taught me about demons and hostile spirits when I was a young child, initially in the context of how to keep myself safe from them.
So that's how it begins. Okay. I'm going to put the thought of demons in this little child's mind that is very malleable, and they will fear any kind of sin, including just being a normal kid, and they'll think they're going to hell for every little bad thing. It's called guilt.
Were you or were you not raised believing in demons and hostile spirits?
I was raised that way.
Okay, and do you or do you not believe that way now?
I don't believe that way now.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but let me tell you about all the fear I had as a child because of some of these.
That's part of your trauma. That's why you feel so strongly about these things and you attack them and you latch on them. You're like, no, it's not real, because you were so traumatized by that as a child that the idea of it brings up that trauma instead of you opening your mind, man. And I'm sorry to say this, like, I'm obviously not a therapist, but I did stay at a therapist's office for one day a week for the last year.
For an hour.
So I get a pretty good, strong feeling about these things now, you know?
So you're saying it's trauma?
I think so. I think something in the way you were raised traumatized you to the point where even thinking about something like that, you don't want to do it because you're like, no, fuck all that. Fuck that experience. It was horrible. I don't want anything to do with that.
I will say there is a reason that you're not a therapist, because
I'm too good.
I don't think
have to charge too much.
I don't think the way I view those things now is because of trauma. I think that our simplistic ways of trying to explain the world and evil to children oftentimes creates maybe a temporary trauma that may manifest itself later. I'm just saying we need to be a little bit more careful with kids on how we explain the scary world around them, because we don't need to add to the trauma. We don't need kids worried if they did a normal kid thing, if, you know, and we see this in extreme situations where parents are like, you're going to hell for that, mm-hmm. or this and that. And
that is an extreme situation. Yes. That is very uncommon. Yes, that is.
It's. I don't think it's as uncommon as people think. I think some of it is accidental because raising kids is hard.
Sure.
And sometimes we fall back on stuff our parents did that maybe wasn't the most optimal, but they're falling back. It's just.
It's a cycle that has to be broken.
Yeah, it's very simple to scare the shit out of our kids, but we should probably think twice before we do.
I'm saying what I'm saying based on the fact that, like, I have my family out here all the time, right? Yeah. And I have, like, I probably shouldn't even mention it on the podcast in case anyone listens to it, but, like, over the past few weeks, I've had a lot of revelations about certain things in my life that were of no fault to anyone.
Most of the time, they're not.
It's just how I was perceiving things. And it's things that I soaked up as a child that have, you know, found their way to the surface now that I'm a dad and now that I'm, you know, I have a family of my own and stuff like that. It's, again, our parents are doing as well as they can
with what they have at the time.
With what they had, how they were raised. And all they can do is pass that information on. And it's up to, you know, at some point in a generational line, it's up for someone to be like, no, they shouldn't have done that. I'm going to break this.
And I think we're much better at it now than we used to be because...
At least recognizing it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we question authority differently now than maybe our parents or grandparents did.
Yeah.
So we are pushing back against some things. I'm just one, let's not try to scare the shit out of our kids to keep them safe in most cases. I mean, yeah, crossing the street.
It's usually a bad idea. Sure.
Yes, crossing the streets. Yeah, you may want to scare them a little bit, but be careful.
Yeah.
Because kids, this world is really scary for
this
children.
This world is really scary. Yeah.
Like, I think about growing up when I did. I mean, it was still scary, but not like this. And, you know, the world hasn't changed that much in that amount of time. But there's just so much more going on around us that we know about that it's scary.
Yeah.
And we just have to be careful how we pass that on, especially to children.
It really can be like that.
Like, are we telling them a scary story like parents of old used to tell scary stories about the body of water or the forest nearby?
Okay, I know you're not going back to this argument after last week. We literally just, you need to watch the video yourself or the episode, wherever it was on, where you were like, I think... It's more than just people telling stories to keep kids away from water. And I was like, isn't that weird? Because you totally used to say that yourself. But we had a guest in studio and you changed your opinion on it. And then a week later, you're switching back to it.
No, I'm saying, dude. I'm just saying we need to be careful of how we do that. I mean, as a parent, if I lived in those environments, I would have done the same thing. Said that stuff to the kids.
I wouldn't. I'd just be like, hey, don't go too close to the water. You'll drown and die.
Yeah, but...
You know?
Kids don't understand it on that level, so we need to make a monster. And maybe in the past there were monsters. Maybe that's the inspiration for the various stories. And in some cases, like Bigfoot, maybe those things are still out there.
All right. Well, I'm going to get back into this story so we can close
this out. I thought we were done
out.
With the story.
You cut it off two sentences into the story, actually.
Oh, I apologize.
You took it in a weird direction very quickly, and then we just spiraled out of control.
I apologize. So I didn't even catch that.
We won't discuss this story after I read it. We'll just kind of close out on this story. And if you guys listening have an opinion on the story, like, let us know your thoughts on it. Because it is, at the end of the day, it is a dream. It could just be a wild dream, but it is a crazy, scary as hell dream too. So
we need to have your mom analyze this dream. And
yeah, we will do that. So I'm going to say the sentence again that triggered you. Just try to take a deep breath, all right? My mother taught me about demons and hostile spirits when I was a young child.
Catholics.
You good? Yeah, okay. Initially, in the context of how to keep myself safe from them, when I was a little older, I used to assist in performing exorcisms in a traditional Hindu context. Yeah, definitely not. Anyway, of course, in my early teen years, I began to feel excited about confronting demons and defeating them, etc. It seemed cool and thrilling.
Wow.
I know. My mom was responsible and admonished me not to go looking for spiritual trouble. We only engage in such things for family members and friends, and only when they came to ask for help.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Or demons. Even then, we only went so far. But as a teenager, I got cocky and reckless and pushed it. Classic.
Of course.
The scariest demon spirit encounter I've had resulted from this. I was definitely at least 13 years old and not much older. I think 14 at the most. I had been engaging in spiritual hostilities against demonic spirits and had been sloppy with safeguards. The resulting encounter came in a dream. I was having a normal, mundane dream when suddenly an alien presence tore into it like a flood of black water bursting through the screen of a movie theater in the middle of a show. There was no slow, subtle, creeping buildup, or if there was, I missed it. It was sudden and all at once, like a tornado tearing through the walls out of nowhere. A dark hand, not a literal hand, but a psychic appendage that I metaphorically call a hand for lack of a better term, tore into my dream and seized me, and I was instantly overwhelmed with panic. It felt like a stranger grabbing you out of a pleasant crowd and throwing you in the back of a windowless van before you have time to cry out or react in any way. I was being pulled down, 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 dizzyingly fast, far from my familiar and comfortable field of consciousness, from what felt like my own mind, and plunged deep into blackness.
There was no ring of fire?
No ring of fire.
It went down, down, down. I thought there'd be a ring of fire.
You sure did. You thought. Wrapped in a cruel malice that gripped me like a vice and felt palpably like an alien mind that had invaded and violated my own. I would have screamed, but I had no voice. I would have flailed in panic, but I had no body. Then that long, long arm finally brought me to him. All I saw in the blackness were his eyes. A dark, dull red, like ugly old scabs, barely lighter than the surrounding black. Those eyes stabbed me. They burned me. Nothing else moved. Nothing else touched me. I was held helpless in place before those eyes, and they just glared at me with such potent hate and malice that it hurt in a way hard to describe. It seemed to throb like a pulse, but it was less like the hate or malice ever abated, and more like its sheer intensity somewhat numbed my ability to feel it, and I reeled in sick horribleness, and then recovered enough to feel it again, and again, and again. It felt like violation. I wanted to throw up, but again, I had no body. I wanted to close my eyes, but I had no eyes. Turn my head away, but I had no head. There were just those eyes, hating me so violently that I don't really know a word for what it caused in me, other than intense suffering. It's hard to put a sense of time on this experience, but after some period of time, it certainly didn't feel short. I remembered my divine protectors. My training kicked in. I called on one of them like a hurt, panicking baby for a parent. I don't think I've ever called out with such need as in this moment, and protection came at once. A mighty column of light speared through the darkness, and I wanted to start crying in relief, if I had eyes. The exact following moments were too confusing to describe clearly. Rolling, bubbling smoke like oil and water, being buffeted and cleared back by a sudden strong current in the water, perhaps. The dark grasp that clutched me weakening, not like the muscles of a hand slackening, but more like a cloud fading and coming apart and letting in daylight bit by bit. It happened fast though. Soon the light held me instead of the darkness, and I was whisked away, up, 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 and I just mentally clung to him, again like a scared baby to his father. I woke up crying, tears in my eyes, shuddering breaths, my whole body still shaking. I got out of bed feeling like I'd just been sick. It was the middle of the night. I didn't go wake anyone up. I couldn't bear to lie back down or close my eyes, though. I walked around, drank some water, processed it, breathed, meditated, thanked my protector, thought through what had just happened. I was okay. I definitely learned my lesson, though. I've never been so careless. I've had a few other negative spirit encounters, both before and after this, but this was the scariest by far. No, thank you.
I mean, it was just a dream, but dreams can be pretty scary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Christian. No meaning behind that.
Yeah, so there's also, since we're not allowed to, since I already went on a rant.
You did.
I'll say, pretty well written. Guy used his words well. And it's fascinating to see and be reminded that other religions also have exorcists.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm going to need to get one on the show, damn it.
Don't trust young men exorcists, because they do get cocky at a certain age for a while before the world slap or the demons slap in the face and show them why.
Yeah,
there is a strict set of guidelines for any exorcism in any religion.
It really do be like that, yeah.
But it's fascinating. This person also called on their protectors, which is what Christians will do in extreme extremely traumatic experiences, they will call out and ask Jesus for help. And
our Lord and Savior, no doubt. Yeah.
Sometimes that help shows up in the form of light, some form of light or
oil and water. Why not?
I don't know about oil and water. That's way beyond my
That's an interesting way to phrase it, though. Like, I can kind of picture it, but I guess experiencing something like that would be hard to, you know, really get down on words. Like, well, it was like,
I don't know. So it's also, which also makes me feel like it's kind of amazing that various religions around the world have these types of beliefs in the light and the dark and what can save you or whatever in these situations. And maybe maybe sometimes when we get into our, like, this religion is the right religion, we need to realize that a lot of people have that right religion in their eyes, and most of the time it just brings light to their world or helps them.
Yeah.
Even though you say I dog on religion.
Well, like, I don't think it's saying that.
It's very helpful. Religion is very helpful for the majority of humans.
Yeah, we actually have an entire back catalog of references to dogging our religion, but it's, you know, it's fine. You know, people at some point
I dog change. On the people that run
that
religion.
Run religions and also the people who believe in them. But it's
I do fine. Not.
It's fine. You know what?
Come at me, bro. Except for you, that's, James. You're wrong.
Yeah, and you, Ellen. Fuck you. Like I said last time.
I don't know, Ellen, but that's dumb.
No, I'm just kidding. I'll
that's a little harsh. Harsh, Scott.
And with that, we bid you all adieu. We'll see you right back here next week, where Christian is going to be talking about
owls and the supernatural.
Owls and the supernatural. Supernatural.
Natural.
Hella hip. Anyway, folks, remember, find us on social media. Check out the website, thefreakydeaky.com. Get yourself some of the dopest of the dope merchandise. Some dope new designs, as I mentioned 3 times now, using the word dope before. And I'm going to stop now. And this episode has run long, and it's time for me to end it.
This little stack of stickers you have sitting next to me is pretty impressive. Check them out.
It's pretty impressive, yeah. Anyway.
Are these mine?
They are, yes.
Somebody's getting a couple stickers tonight.
That's right. Somebody's getting a couple stickers tonight. Isn't that fun? Folks, we hope you guys have a fantastic week, and we'll see you right back here next week on the Frinky Dinky. Goodbye. Is my boyfriend a demon? Yes, of course, church magic.
No.